Let's talk about Corban just a little bit. It is a term that is used only one time in the New Testament, is used more than that in the Old Testament, but not really a great deal. It has to do with an offering. But it's kind of a special word in as much as it means, and again, I apologize, your Strong's Concordance is not going to carry through the full meaning, but I think through this lecture, I'll be able to show you from the Scriptures the fuller meaning that Christ utilized, which actually the word entails. It can mean most anything, a special gift to the Father, even yourself. And it comes into play throughout the Word of God many times, such as in Leviticus, having to do with a ransom, you know, where you buy yourself from God to utilize, because Corban, to utilize your own efforts, because Corban means to give and to never have any other profits from that you give for yourself. It is a final giving. It is a liturgical term that has a great deal to do with those that perform service in the temple. It is a word that was used by Josephus a great deal. As a matter of fact, I might just give some passing touches here as to where it is used in the New Testament otherwise. The 30 pieces of silver that were thrown into the temple, they were Corban at one time. They came out of the temple, but when they were cast back into it, they were refused and could not be used for Corban because there was blood upon the money. All right, so an argument transpired there among the so-called rabbis of that time, the traditionalists, that it could not be utilized for that. Of course, we know from Scripture that it had to be used to buy the potter's field anyway, to have a place that the poor, the unwanted, the broken were buried, which is symbolic of the clay pot, this body, broken, but Christ's blood that purchased that field can put your life back together. A perfect vessel. More perfect than it was when it was broken. That's some of the examples that Corban was utilized within. But actually, it's a, how can I put it in just plain old common sense terms, colloquial terms? It was very religious. All right? Very religious. Boy, when you were doing Corban, it could be giving yourself to God. You better be careful because it's forever. Not exactly a vow, but yet a vow. Just a very final giving and against God's law for you to ever receive anything from that offering again. Now, I might give you an example. As you can tell, it's very difficult to go into foreign languages at times to an English-speaking congregation without available tools to take you back into the Greek, the Aramaic, and the Hebrew, as you really should, as well as even classical writings in those languages to get the full impact of the word itself. So, with that said, open your Bibles to the 15th chapter of Matthew. Excuse me. Matthew chose not to use the word Corban, but yet Mark will use it in this same instant whereby you know it was used, but in the definition that Christ gives thereof, we know that he said the word Corban. What was happening here? The Pharisees and the scribes, as always, are trying to nail Christ, trying to condemn him. Let's just take it with verse 1. Then came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?" In other words, they're not doing it according to the church. They're not following our ways. For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Now, the religious way to wash your hands was not simply as you would today, wash your hands, you know, nicely with soap. You took off the top coat and you washed yourself always all past the elbows. And the pots and the pans, they had to be sprinkled just thusly and thusly. In other words, it was a ceremonial religious activity. The disciples didn't do that. They simply washed their hands and dug in. They were hungry. Verse 3, but he answered and said unto them, Jesus' words, listen carefully, why do you always transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? This is important. Man's tradition will absolutely go 180 degrees away from God's word, and it becomes more important to certain churches to do the traditions than the word itself. And the real sad part is they don't know the difference. They really do not know the difference. There are people in this nation, in this world, that if a preacher told them, their preacher told them whatever, they're going to believe it. No man will stand between you and God on Judgment Day. It's going to be you. He gave you a mind, and you're supposed to analyze the Word of God in depth. Because you are the individual that he's speaking to. You're his child. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. In other words, that's a serious sin. It can bring death. You're supposed to honor your mother and father. Most people would say, well, yes, I do that. One of the questions I most often get is parents that are alcoholics or something of this nature, a Christian child will say or ask, must I honor my mother and father when they do this? And my answer is always, honor them for the fact that they brought you into the world, that they gave you life in the flesh, and then set an example. I don't care what they do, you should always honor that fact. They are your blood. All right? He that curses father and mother, let him die the death. Verse 5. But ye say, and this is Christ's accusation, but ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, or you might pencil in the margin, it is Corbin. It is Corbin. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And you see, that breaks the very foundation of Corbin within itself. Let me translate this a little better for you. I know, Mother and Dad, that you need honor and you need food on your table. But what I have committed it to Corbin, and at this certain time, and if it profits me something between them, then it's okay. Of course, that goes 180 degrees against Corbin itself, which is to say to give and never expect anything in return. Quite frankly, with Christ adding that footnote, that is to say, whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, explains and signifies that the word Christ used was Corbin. And I'll document that further before we complete this lecture. In other words, if you honor your parents, you should have a little compassion to at least take care of them when you're in a position where you can, where your heritage should be carried forth. But for a religious reason, you'll disown them. It's all right for me to let you kind of live a skimpy life because of my religion, because of my beliefs. The preacher said it was all right. The elders said it was all right. God forbid, when you and wonder how many traditions have worked themselves into the church systems, and how many religions have been formulated or have come into being because of taking one little part of God's Word and making a ritual out of it. It's real sad. All of God's Word should be considered and acted upon to the best of your ability. Naturally, we all fall short. We're just not perfect, but common sense itself lets you know that you can't break a direct main covenant or commandment made of God that you're to honor your mother and father. And if a church comes along and tells you to cut them off for Christ's sake or for the church's sake, aren't you wise enough to know that doesn't make sense? That won't fly. Because God's Word does not contradict itself. So church systems, many times, traditions, man's traditions, not God's, causes grief, hardship, and a quick trip to hell. A church can do that for you. I know that's a serious statement. That's what was happening here. Christ wasn't talking about a death like to die of the flesh, but even an eternal death. I don't want to put anybody on any guilt trips, because there's not a living person that I know I do. I look back at my mother. I know I could have done better for my mother than I did. I know it. But I didn't. My father. I just didn't do my best. All right? So don't get on a guilt trip. Christ forgives for that also. You're still not guilty of this. For having put them aside because some preacher told you to. Or turning, not fulfilling your obligation to Almighty God because of your beliefs. Because they're not God's beliefs, they're yours, if that be the case. 6. And honor not, after committing this act against Corban, this profiting for yourself, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. In other words, that's what they say. It'll be okay. It'll be okay if you do this for the church. You don't have to worry about mom and dad. God will take care of you. You bet he'll take care of you. Right in the firing squad, okay? That's not a very nice term. But to the death. Yeah, he'll take care of you if you listen to man instead of him. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. It just doesn't check out. Remember your father's word. It always comes first. It was written to you. And when you hear traditions of man or man teach, this man or any other man, check him out. How do you check him out? Through the word and common sense. Anytime, in other words, it should be very simple and a very common bit of knowledge, wisdom even if you like, that if someone tells you to go against your parents, there's something wrong. I mean, that even goes against nature itself. Because it is just nature that you would want to take care of your parents. I mean, they brought you into the world and they fed you your first milk and diapered you and gave you a good start. And sure, things can go wrong and they can do some very bad things. But they're still your parents, all right? Now, but people will take traditions. And then Christ said something very sweet to them. You hypocrites! Well, did Esaias or Elijah, I'm sorry, Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, verse 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In other words, their mind is. Why? Why is their mind far from God? They don't know what they're doing. They haven't been taught from the Word of God. They don't know right from wrong, upside straight from down. And it is a tradition. But I'm going to tell you something. God won't give you an A on man's traditions. You've got to follow His Word, His command. It usually always is the most commonsensical thing you could do in the world is to follow His Word. If you ever do anything that doesn't make common sense, you'd better wohaw. You'd better look around. Take inventory. All right? Verse 9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Not the commandments of God, but the commandments of men. That won't buy you anything, my dear friend, in your Father's house. That won't buy you anything in God's book of life. Now, don't think that I'm cursing churches. I'm not. It's the traditions that steep into some of them. Some of them. And to mistreat your brothers and your sisters in that way, that they would set themselves up as guides and lead people to the pit, that same family blood, which spiritually we are, rises to the occasion to say, you're not going to get away with that. There's going to be someone teaching the truth. And may that someone be you. That will always hold that space, that gap. Okay, verse 10. And he called the multitude and he said unto them, hear and understand. That doesn't mean just hear what I'm saying. That means also understand it in your heart and your mind and your soul. Let it be clear. You've heard lots of things that you heard the words, but they didn't make sense. You didn't understand. He's saying, understand this. It's simple. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. This is one reason that I say the health food laws are for health. It doesn't matter what goes into your mouth. You could eat pork all day long. It would not affect spiritual judgment upon you. You might be sicker and whatever. You wouldn't be healthy. But it doesn't have anything to do with your standing with God. And you're supposed to keep this temple as healthy as you can. Too bad we don't, isn't it? We all fall short. We all get these little quirks and habits and so on and so forth. And sometimes Christians that should know there are no giants out there even get anxious or worried about things. And we don't have anything to worry about. High blood pressure, too much worry, as well as wrong eating. Christ is saying, it doesn't matter about washing or eating with dirty hands. What matters is that you honor your mother and your father, and that's only utilized as an... that's only one example. He means all of them as best you can. What did Isaiah say about this? When Christ gives you a clue, always go back and take advantage of it. Isaiah chapter 29. And Isaiah teaching here. This chapter starts with Ariel, which is in the Hebrew, the Lion of God, and so forth it's called. Verse 12. Well, let's drop back to 11 so we kind of get the whole thought here. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one another that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. How many of you have ever asked a minister a question about revelation? And they answered you saying, nobody can really know it. It's sealed. It's sealed. when it is so disturbing when you know that the word revelation means to unseal, or is unsealed, or is revealed. Very upsetting. Why is it upsetting? Because it's done to our brothers and sisters. That's why it's upsetting. That gets my righteous indignation up when I see them do my fellow mankind that way. It's not right. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, saith, I'm not learned. I can't even read. Wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw not near me with their mouth, they claim to be followers of God. Today they claim to be Christians. And with their lips do honor me. They talk about me quite a bit. But have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men, tradition. Oh, that is so religious. Isn't that a religious thing to do? There's one thing about it. It gets easier and easier to spot these religious things when they're taking place, because it is the common teaching of the seminary that about the most religious thing you can do is pass the plate anymore. All right? So when you see them passing the plate all the time, that's a tradition. All right? That's a tradition of men. I'm proud to say there's never been a plate passed in any church I've pastored, and there never will be. That's your business. There's a box somewhere. That's between you and God. I don't care, because God's going to bless me anyway, because I'm His servant. You're His servant. He takes care of those things. All right? Traditions. That was really supposed to be kind of funny. You know, there was three preachers, and they said, let's do something religious, and one of them passed his hat. All right? So, had a late report this morning that they've doubled the security on Hillary this morning in Washington. They were afraid something would happen to her and Bill would have to take over. So, but anyway, 14. Isn't this religious? Very religious. All right, 14. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. You know what it is? Listen to it. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. In other words, they're going to be fooled. Look at our generation today, beloved. What are the wise supposed men saying, doing, and acting upon? To a follower of God's word, it's folly. It's a madhouse. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? In other words, God's not real. It doesn't matter anyway. We'll do whatever we want to because we have the power, control. But they forget this. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he hath no understanding? Well, the way some of their minds are framed, I would say whoever framed them might not have had much understanding. But God created mankind. God gave a set of commandments. Our leadership today is taking those commandments and making a mockery of them. Open season on Christians. Fashionable to condemn or make light of or snicker at a Christian and their stand. Don't ever think you are the minority. You're not. You're not. You and God make a majority, because God will correct them to their face We just covered that in Deuteronomy, the last lecture we covered on national television. He said, those that hate me, I will take it up with them to the face. God's doing a lot of getting even today. They don't even know it. The potter is breaking a lot of clay vessels by removing their immune systems. I know there are some innocent that are caught up in this. That grieves the Father, I'm sure. But what a society. And now, to be taken into the very force, the military force that keeps this nation free, whereby we have the right and the privilege that we practice called freedom of religion. It's a strange time. Yes, you've come to that point in time. But don't despair. The potter that made the vessels, he knows how to crack them. And he will do it. I want to take you now back into the Old Testament, into the use of Corban one time in the Hebrew. The word is pronounced in the Greek, Korban. C-O-R-B-A-N. And in the Hebrew, it is pronounced. Now, I'm not spelling it. I'm not translating. I'm just giving you the sound of it so that you know how it's said in both languages. I suppose you would... It is not spelled this way. K-O-O-R. Kind of drag out the O more so than Greek. And then let the emphasis be co on an R, ben. So really the same word, pronounced just with a little stronger emphasis, but same word in the Old Testament, meaning the same kind. When you promise God something, or when you give Him something, let it be final. But at the same time, there are many things that are taught by God, yes, even in the Old Testament, questions answered about the millennium. What will happen to those that God has blinded purposely, as written in Romans chapter 11? If God Himself sent the spirit of slumber upon them and they're asleep, He can't judge them very well to death when He was the party that put them to sleep to the truth. I think maybe you'll find some answers if you observe closely what your Father tells you in this message. Let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 9. The fourth book. The fourth book in God's Word. The fourth book of Moses' books. We are in the Sinai. The second year is coming up after the captivity from Egypt. Let me lay just a little groundwork. This is the fourth book in the Old Testament. With Passover arriving, a very bad thing had just happened. Aaron's sons had been appointed priests. I mean, after all, that was the Levitical priest line. And it came along, do I dare do this? Yeah, I will. Church time. Altar call time. All right? Not the type of altar calls you have today, but time to go to worship before the altar. All right? The boys had let their fire go out in their lamps. So they said, oh, well, we're late. And they grabbed a little fire out of the cook stove. All right? Put in their little doodads called censers, okay? And here they go. And God struck them dead because they were playing church. God killed them because they were playing with strange fire. Now, don't ever think it's a very serious thing to your Father because they were playing with strange fire. Now, don't ever think it's a very serious thing to your Father when you begin to accept traditions the easy... It was the easy way out, God. The fire was supposed to always be maintained from the altar. You didn't go out here and get a bunch of buffalo chips or Camel chips that you've been cooking with and start your censers with it. That was an abomination before God. So God killed these two. And I understand this. Moses told two men to go bury them. They touched the dead, which if you touch a dead body, and this goes back to that time of liturgical duties, you couldn't come before the altar for 7 days. And don't snuff at that, because it will be the same in the millennium if you go to someone that's spiritually dead, your own, even, to help them. You're going to stay away from Christ for 7 days. Ezekiel 44, your documentation. But these two, Nadab and Abihu, I have no doubt you with companion Bibles, you will note in the 5th or 6th verse, the commentary, that it is believed by most scholars, and certainly as a student of the Word, I agree with it, that this is why these were unclean. So we're going to see that Corban has to do with even your Passover offering. So with that thought in mind, let's pick it up in verse 5, chapter 9, book of Numbers. Listen carefully. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even in the wilderness of Sinai. According to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. Don't forget in your mind as we go over this where the Passover, first Passover was held. It was held in Egypt. And the death angel passed over. This is the second celebration of Passover. Verse 6. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. Now bear in mind, these men were told to go bury those bodies to get them away from the altar. Instructed from a man of God. They had handled someone that was playing with strange fire. Liken it, my friend, whether you like it or not, to your handling people that are spiritually dead in a church somewhere. Not talking against any church, bless your hearts. But someone either follows Christ or the traditions of men, and some are very confused. And sometimes you have to go out and try to help them. That's what we were sent here for, all right? What am I saying? Am I saying that sometimes we get a little dirty in the service of God doing a good thing, you know, a liturgical duty, such as touching or working with someone that's spiritually dead? Well, think about it, all right? Verse 7. At least they did the correct thing. They went to the head of the altar and asked, that's to say Moses and Aaron, what can we do? Verse 7. And these men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back? Why are we kept back? That we may not offer an offering. This is Corban. One of the few places that Corban is used in the Old Testament. Of the Lord in His appointed season among the children of Israel. When was the appointed time? First month, 14th day. Passover. He said, we can't do it. Verse 8, and Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Now, did Moses go ahead and say, well, I don't know, let's try to figure it this way or that way. Let's do it this way. No, he said, hey, you stand and wait right here. I'm going to go ask God. I'm going to pray about this and ask Him. Moses had a special gift from God that he could converse with Him. There was a lot riding on him, his back, pressure, responsibility. So God would speak directly with him. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, listen carefully, don't go to sleep on me, dear one. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying. Now, did he say speak to those two men? No, he said speak to all. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or of your posterity, what does that mean? your posterity of those that followed God. It means forever, the generation after generation after generation. That's what it means. Shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet, listen to this, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. That's no excuse. You're still going to keep it. But now don't go off half-cocked like so many people do. God's not finished talking here yet. Verse 11. The 14th day of the second month at even, they shall keep it, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Think about what was said there. Did you read over it? Passover is the first month. God said, these will take it the second month. They're still going to take Passover, but they're going to wait 30 days to do it. And what does that mean? It means this. God made an allotment of time that certain people in liturgical duties would perform certain things that might make them delay them somewhat, but they would still have the same blessing. I want to go a little further reading before I finish. Hold the thought I just gave you. But bear in mind, compare verse 11, if you would, with verse 5 that we started with, and notice that there are 30 days difference. Now, verse 12. They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bone of it. Does that sound familiar to you? Any bone of it? Remember Christ on the cross. You shall not break a bone in His body. He cannot be a perfect Corban sacrifice. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. What is your Passover today? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Jesus Christ is your Passover, period. There was not a bone broken in His body. Well, what about the millennium? There are some people. When the gates of heaven are locked, as it is declared in Revelation chapter 15, and there are people in heaven with the Father, and the Father has not returned to this earth de facto until the end of the millennium, there are some people down here, as it is written in Ezekiel chapter 44, that are performing liturgical duties, that is to say, as priests, Zadok, and the Levitical priest, Zadok in the Hebrew tongue meaning the elect, God's elect, those that can approach Christ. And they've got to wait another full time. Now, that's one way to look at the delay. But there's another. There are some that God blinded purposely that they are unclean. And here you have absolute proof, at least to my understanding, I have no been as much as the word Corban is used here, I have no doubt in my mind what is meant. There'll be a second Passover for those that are not able to take the first. There will be a second resurrection for those that are not qualified for the first. But then we address another person. That's Corban, my friend. You have so that for your own study, because you may have a little trouble with this, the word offerings and offering is it was translated from Corban in the Hebrew to that word offering in the English, but it is Corban, and it does make a difference. That's why Christ would have used it as He did. If you look and if you meditate and do it long, there are many things I could cover here, but I'm not going to. You will understand many things from this delay. They still practiced the same Passover, but there was a common sense reason why they couldn't participate in the first. There is no penalty for participating in the second. Now, the documentation that is according to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. Just because it's 30 days later, same thing. Now, verse 13, listen carefully. But the man that is clean, don't forget who your Passover today is. This is prophetic that I'm reading now, all right? Christ is your Passover. But the man that is clean and is not in a journey and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul, nephesh in the Hebrew, shall be cut off from among his people because he brought not the Corban offering, Corban of the Lord in his appointed season. That man shall bear his sin. What is your Passover today? Christ. If you do not participate in the Passover of Christ, who washes you of your sins, you shall bear your own sins. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're not careful, when you get mixed up into traditions with such depths, your sins are not washed anyway. As a matter of fact, sometimes traditions can be an abomination to Christ Himself, who paid for our sins. So think about it. Don't ever forget Numbers chapter 9. Verses 5 through 13. When you have a question about the millennium, go back and ponder and meditate and research the difference between the first and the second month Passover and try to understand what God said to Moses. Am I trying to say there's a second chance? No, I am not. There's no such thing as a second chance. But I'm going to tell you one thing. There are a lot of people that think they know enough about God's Word to be accountable now, and they are biblically illiterate. They're just spiritually dead. And God, our loving Father, will not condemn them to hell in ignorance. He will not. That's what you find in that book. I'm not going to talk much more about that particular book, Numbers chapter 9, verses 5 through 13. But it's something that you should think about long and should ponder when you have a question about the millennium or God's judgment. And you can see His love. In other words, maybe I should say another word. God didn't cut those two men off because they had followed orders and gone out and buried those two suckers that had taken part in the strange fire. He let them participate in Passover, which does what? Causes the death angel to pass over you, which is to say Satan, throughout all the progeny down to this day. Think about it. Now, I want to go to Mark in closing. Okay, the book of Mark, Gospel of Mark. I believe it's chapter 7, if I can find the New Testament. It is chapter 7. This is the same account that we covered in Matthew. So I'm not going to read the introduction. We're going to start with verse 6. It's the same thing. Pharisees come up. Your boys are not washing their hands and they're eating there, and it's just, why are they doing this way? They don't do it the way we do. Right? They don't worship. They don't wear the same robes that we do. All right? Very religious, my friend. All right? Chapter 7 of Mark, verse 6. This is the part where Christ said, what in the world are you talking about? You're the people that that Isaiah was talking about. Verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their mind is a little bit on the stupid side. Heart usually will translate mind. The heart is a pump. It has no knowledge. But it refers to your mind, your intellect. 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me. Why would he say vain means emptiness? Because if you let in too many traditions, you're wasting your time. You're not worshiping God. You're mouthing His name, but you're following traditions. Howbeit in vain do they worship Me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Not God's commandments, but men's. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men. Don't ever lay aside the Word of God, beloved. I don't care who you study with. Study your Father's letter that is written to you in love. It's the instructions as to how this body works and functions in flesh under the sun today. And, in other words, walks in the flesh. Ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. Doesn't amount to a hill of beans, that's what he's saying. This drivel that you practice and make such a big deal of doesn't amount to a hill of beans. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Not God's, but your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban. Now that's why we came here. There you have it, transliterated into English. Not translated, but transliterated. Corban. You say it's Corban. That is to say, a gift. But whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. In other words, it doesn't matter if I hang on to that gift because it's Corban and it profits me just a little more while my old mom and daddy die out there. The preacher said it's okay. It's all right. Don't think this doesn't happen in today's world. You go to nursing homes and sometimes this is sad. The only reason some preachers visit nursing homes is to con elderly people into making a will out to the church. That's vice versa. Friend, there was a case, I don't even want to go into it. It leaves bad memories in this town. Some preachers, some so-called men of God, and their traditions of their rip-off artists, con artists, is all they are. But that's the reverse tables. But there are groups today. As an example, I'm not going to use names. Let's dream up two names. We have the religious loyalist and we have the religious pure. Do you think for one moment that if the religious pure thought they could go to the religious, this is a denomination down here on the corner, that if they could take the children of that family and convert them to their church so they would pay into that tithe, they'd tell them, don't pay any attention to your mom and dad. You just come here. We'll take care of you. You're teaching against God's commandment of honoring your mother and your father when you say, don't pay any attention to them. Hey, it's a free world. Let them come there. If they want to come there, you know, fine, but don't beg them or tell them to not listen to their parents. I pray I've never been guilty of that. If the situation arises in your life, tell them, consider and study God's Word and make up your own mind. You know, you're the one that must answer to God. But regardless of the fact, love your mom and dad. You know, help them. All right? I don't want to make that an issue in this because Corban was, Christ was only using an example. He meant all of God's commandments, all right? With Corban. And it just said, that's the way they treat it. 12. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. The church said, I don't even have to worry about him. Well, what happened to God's commandment? It fell through a crack in the church house floor, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions which ye have delivered. And many such like things do you. That's not the only one. There's a lot more of them that you do. So Corbin, yeah, I didn't really want to. You know, it's a strange thing. I didn't want to speak on this. I told Becky yesterday. I said, you know, I'd kind of like to speak on that, but it's not really a Sunday service subject. And I tried all afternoon to get away from that, to get released, that I wouldn't have to lay this Corbin trip on you. Somebody here today must have needed it a powerful bunch or something, because there was no way I could shake that. And I had to apologize. I told Becky, there ain't no way I'm teaching that tomorrow. Right? And when she came through the door this morning, I thought, maybe I should never say no way, because I'm going to teach Corbin. Your Father's Word is pure and simple. It's not complicated. Don't let man complicate it for you. Read it for yourself. You can. Always using common sense. And when a tradition comes along, kick it out. Kick it out. Don't let it cause you to stumble. Serve God. He will give you blessings that you just can't imagine. I thank Him for the blessings that He has given this family as it goes around the world now, 7 days a week. Well, 5 days a week primarily, but now, yeah, we are being carried in some places 7 days a week. God is sure enlarging the platform. Maybe it's because we try as best we can to hold His commandments. I thank Him for the fact that we go into about 90 million homes now, and it's growing. I thank Him that His Word does make a difference. Always let it make a difference in your life. I promise you one thing. In the overall, it will always make you and myself a better, bigger person. For He is true to His Word. He will never leave thee, nor will He forsake thee. It pleases me that even those that are caught up in liturgical duties and are unclean because of it have an opportunity to serve Him. He is a merciful Father, and He loves you a lot. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the written Word. Thank You, Father, for Your many truths. Thank You for the depth, Father. And we just thank You for that Son that did become our Passover, that caused that death angel to pass over us, that we were not guilty of death, but that because Christ paid the price for us in death, we're accounted free. We thank You for that, Father. For if there was ever a Corbin gift given, expecting nothing in return, but to load the sins of the world, both then and forever, upon Himself, we thank You for understanding that word in the crucifixion. Thank You, Father. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' name. Amen.